everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us. It's Ariel and
Raylene, yet again.
I almost said it's Raylene, and I got myself so confused, so stressed out.
Oh, man. It's the jet lag. You're just scrambled
up. It's the jet lag. You know what, you guys? I'm experiencing some jet lag. I just got back home last night. Thrilled to be home. We were talking about this at the airport. It was the perfect length of trip.
Ooh.
We were gone, I think, almost exactly 2 weeks. I think we left on a Saturday and we came back the 2 Sundays after.
Okay.
So it was 2 weeks. And I was like, if it had been 2 more days, I would have been at the point of like, I'm over it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be home. I miss my house. I miss my stuff. I miss my people.
Yeah.
If it had been a few days shorter, we wouldn't have gotten to do as much stuff. Like, it felt like we just did so much good stuff. So it felt like it was a perfect length of time that we're like getting back home. And like, I showered this morning.
Nice.
Wow. I meant to shower last night. We'll talk about that in a moment. I showered this morning and I was like, wow. This is what, it's always one of the things I appreciate the most when I get back to my own place. Yeah. It's just like, here are all my shampoos and my razor
so nice
and
comfort.
My toothbrush.
Everything is
and
right. Yeah.
Everything is like how it's supposed to be, even though I hate that bathroom and I hate that shower. It's so tiny and messed up, but I'm just like, home. What a concept.
It really is where the heart is, huh?
Damn, it is. It really is. But that being said, so I was gonna, like, last night we landed, got into the car, drove back home, and I was like, on the way to England, I had like a great flight. You know, it was, they're about the same, they're like 7 hours both ways. So on the flight to England, I watched a bunch of movies. I was in a great mood. Like, life was good. On the way back, I wasn't feeling it. I was not feeling it. I had like a pre-anxiety. Like, I wasn't actually anxious, but I was like having a pre-anxiety because I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast when it happened like 2 years ago. I had an experience where I drank way too much the night before a flight. Did I talk about this on the pod?
I think you did talk about that. I definitely remember it.
I definitely told you about it. It was, it's like, in some ways I wouldn't change anything about it because I really learned a valuable lesson.
Yeah.
And I had a really fun night the night before, so I don't really regret all of the debauchery that went down, but I also really regretted it the next morning because I am a very motion sick person. I have been motion sick since I was a kid. Like, I can't read in the car, I can't go on my phone in the car, I can't do anything in the car or I will throw up. And like, I just actually will throw up. I'm just that, I'm so car sick. And so I, that relates to other forms of travel as well, boats, planes, it's no good. So I drank too much the night before. The next day, I mean, I would rather not go into it, I suppose, but I threw up 3 times.
Oh, no.
On the plane, before the plane, after the...
That's my nightmare. That's actually my idea of a nightmare.
It was so bad. It was so bad. Okay. So, after that, I would like to say that I am a woman who knows when a lesson is being learned, you know? I'm not going to repeat the same mistake twice. So, I instituted a rule. I am not allowed to drink the night before a flight. It will never happen again. Like, it's just not worth it at all. How unpleasant I feel, how horrible the whole experience is, and it's just not worth it. So I've actually like really changed how I've booked trips. Like, one of the last time, I forget if it was this last time that I went to New York, but like, I knew I was going to go to Kaylee's birthday party. Mm-hmm. I knew that there would be drinking because it's like at a pub. Not that you have to drink at a pub, but like, I wanted to drink with my friends. So I was like, this will be nice. And I was originally going to book and fly home the next day. And I was like, no, I'm going to go in 1 day later and leave one day later. And like, it actually affected how I booked my flights and stuff. Because I was like, I'm learning my lesson, guys.
Yes.
I'm not doing that again. Okay. Fast forward to whatever, 2 days ago. lesson forgotten. Like, literally was out of my mind. So Connor was invited to someone's birthday party. We show up. And we are handed glasses of champagne. And I'm just like, oh, that's nice. Like, how friendly, how fun. And I just drink it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even thinking. We hadn't checked in for our flights yet. Like, I wasn't in the mode of the next day yet. Then Connor's like, we finished that glass of champagne. We're like, Connor's like, do you want another one? I was like, I guess if they're on the house, this is fun. He gets us a second glass of champagne. I'm feeling it now, all right? I'm feeling the alcohol. I'm having a nice time. And I think, I should get a third glass of champagne. And then I think, oh my God, I'm flying tomorrow. Oh my God. And this is where the pre-anxiety comes in. Because okay. I was already anxious about the next day where I'm like, I don't even know if it's going to make me feel sick. But I'm so scared that I like forgot my new amazing rule that has been serving me so well for the last year or two. Tragedy. We get back home, fall asleep. Wake up the next morning. I'm like, please, for the love of God, just let me be okay. And I was, but the whole time I was like worried that I wasn't going to be. Like, it was so silly, but I was like very anxious about it. You'll all be glad to hear, I did not throw up. I was totally fine. I didn't feel like, I felt groggy a bit, but not like nauseous.
Okay. That's good.
But anyways, the plane ride wasn't as fun as the first plane ride. I think also like at the end of the trip, you're tired, you're bedraggled, you're like, I just want to get home. I don't want to do this whole thing. You don't have the like joy of the, what's going to happen? We're going on this big adventure. You're just like, oh my God, I'm so exhausted. Get me home.
Yeah.
It's just and why is this taking so long? But I did do another film festival. I watched some movies, so we'll be talking about that on the movie tub on our Patreon after the pod. I also, okay, last week after the podcast, we recorded the question vase where we answer Q&As from our patrons. And we were both, Raylene and I were both like, we love doing the question vase. We're super excited that we were doing this now. But we both had watched stuff we really wanted to talk about. Yeah. And I watched Challengers. And so I'll talk more about it on the movie tub, but I do want to just say for the like general podcast, can't stop thinking about it. It was so cool. Have you seen it yet?
No, but I really want to. Okay. But on the flip side of that, the thing that I watched that I really want to talk about and we'll talk about later is The Three Body Problem, the TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. So I just, I wanted to let the people know I did love it. And I do kind of already want to watch it again. Like it's that level. Yeah. Like we can't stop thinking about it. But no, I really want to see Challengers.
I think you're good. Do I think? Yeah, I do think you're going to like it. I think you're going to like it. It's cool. It's weird. It's cool. Okay, enough about my travel woes. Now everyone knows I'm a very nauseous person. You know what? That's for the best. Because now no one's going to suggest a car trip. Not that someone would, but now you're not going to. And that's probably for the best.
We're just going to stay away from that.
Yeah, we all have boundaries. Raylene, how have you been? How's your week going?
Good. I mean, it was kind of a busy weekend, which turned into a very lazy weekend. Like I kind of stretched. This weekend felt very long, and it started on Friday. I had another party with my friends. So this one was for Beltane, which is not Midsummer. That's the next one, because obviously it's not Midsummer yet.
Oh,
but
cool.
It is kind of like the lead up to that, and it's like all about like getting ready for harvest and like plentiful food, that kind of thing. And so we were like, let's just make a lot of food. And fire is another big image for it. So we had a little picnic and we had tons of candles and we had a good time sitting around. We did a craft outside. It started to get dark, but that's okay. It was lots of fun. So we had a good little time on Friday. And then on Saturday, Kyle and I went to a like food truck festival thing that was happening close by, which was really fun. So we went and ate way too much food. It was so good. I got poutine. I got a huge cup of lemonade. They were selling cups of lemonade, like massive, huge. And we also got beaver tails. For those, I don't know if those are exclusively a Canadian thing. They do sound very Canadian, but
they are. They're definitely a Canadian thing. You should explain them for our.
Yeah, I don't even really.
I actually also, I don't want people to think that we eat beaver tails.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I don't even know exactly how to explain a beaver tail because I don't exactly know what it is, but it's basically like a really thin donut kind of with different Ooh. Toppings on it. That's how I would maybe...
Oh, that's an interesting... I guess I wouldn't say donut just because donut to me is more on the cake side. Mm. And this is more on the like yeasted side. So I feel like it's almost more pizza doughy, but like a sweet pizza dough. Like, yeah. It's a, just imagine you had an oval in the shape of a beaver's mm-hmm. tail. This is why it's so Canadian. it's like a dough in the shape of in the shape of a beaver tail, but it's sweet, and then you can get sweet toppings on it, and the like default flavor that everyone gets is cinnamon sugar, but you can get creative with it, and they offer like a lot of
I just got cool one that things. Was called maple m-e-h-p-l-e because it's Canadian.
Maple. I see.
It was really good, but I was also really tempted by this like Reese's Pieces one that was like peanut butter chocolate, because those are some of my favorite flavors to put together. Mm-hmm. There was also like a Nutella one that looked really good. Basically, there's tons of stuff that just looked really darn good. So we had a good time. They had lots of vendors as well, and I bought some like bath stuff. There was this guy selling homemade vegan bath stuff, so I got these like. It's stuff called fizzy bath dust, and it's Fruit Loop scented.
Oh my god.
And then, I used that yesterday, and it was delightful. So, after those couple of busy days, for some reason, I just, like, felt completely drained. And so for the rest of Saturday and all of yesterday, I just laid around, like, watching movies and doing almost nothing. So I actually a film festival as well. I watched 3 movies yesterday and a movie the day before. I went crazy, but
I can't tell if you're proud of yourself or you're like slightly
worried. The funny thing is I kind of like spread the movies out throughout the day, so it didn't feel like festival. It felt like, okay, it's like 1:30 in the afternoon, I'll watch a movie, and then it's like 4:00 in the afternoon, perhaps I'll watch another, and then I watched another one at 10 p.m like I started a movie so late. So it was like, it did kind of feel not purposeful. So it does feel a little embarrassing. It's a little like, ooh, am I glad that I did that? I don't know. But I had fun, so it's okay. So that's pretty much what my weekend was. It was like busy, busy, and then the laziest I've ever been. It's funny because I really wanted to play Stardew, but that felt like too much effort.
So, oh my god.
That's when it gets bad. I was like, I simply can't do anything that involves using my hands or sitting up or thinking.
Yeah.
I just didn't feel up to it. So that's where we are. But it was good. I feel recharged now.
I also had an extremely lazy yesterday. Like, so I got home. We landed. I drove us home. We had dinner. Went up to bed. Like, I was just going to... I had these visions. I had 3 things I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Number 1, shower. Number 2, unpack. Number 3, plan out this week. Just kind of like sketch out, like, tomorrow I'm going to do the podcast. Tuesday... I think it was 7:45. I fell asleep and I did not wake up until 8 a.m. this morning. So I slept for over 12 hours, which seems insane to me. But I actually, I'm not going to lie to you, I feel well rested. I feel like I woke up. I was like, yeah, that was perfect.
Now do you feel like you're like back on track in terms of like your time zone? Like maybe it's perfect.
I know, it's so confusing. My watch is still on UK time, so it's about to turn 6 p.m. It just turned 6 p.m. in England. For me here in Nova Scotia, it's 2 p.m. So I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. I think that you just were like, why is it 2 minutes ahead? My watch is 2 minutes ahead because I want to make sure I'm never late to anything. Amazing. So I set my watch 2 minutes ahead. Anyways, it's 1:58, but it's about to turn 2 p.m. here. So I guess we'll find out in like 3 or 4 hours how tired I am. Because if I feel tired, then that would kind of be great, right? Because then I would have reset it. But if I'm overtired. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous.
Should be.
I'm scared I shot myself in the foot, but we'll see what happens. All right. I wanted to show you one little thing that I got because I just think it's so cute. Like, I bought a bunch. some trips are shopping trips, some trips are not shopping trips, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, it did not feel like this was a shopping trip. I did buy some cool stuff on the trip. I got a really cool pair of jeans. I'm hyped on these jeans, Raylene. This was a big move for me. Okay. I realized when I was packing that I really wanted to take a pair of jeans because obviously jeans go with everything. And I was like, I don't like any of my jeans. So I was like, I'm not going to take a pair of jeans and I'm going to buy a pair of jeans. That was like a fun mission that I had. So I bought this pair of jeans. Really excited about it, honestly. I bought a spring jacket. Super hyped on that as well. But like, it's all basically like a heavy shirt. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, here, wait. Yeah. This kind of material where it's like a thick shirt, basically.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like a very light spring jacket, obsessed with that. And I did do, when I was in York, I was visiting my friend Claire, who we've had on the podcast. I did do a bit of like antique shopping, which was really, really fun. And I just got a cut, like a cut, three little things, like very small things. So it just wasn't a huge shopping trip. Obviously, there was books. But that is happens on every trip, so it doesn't feel like that marks it out. So yeah, it wasn't a huge shopping trip, but that's totally fine with me, and was semi-intentional. I was like, I don't need stuff. I don't need to shop just for the sake of shopping. And this was actually a realization I had on my last New York trip. Like, I was in New York and I was like, God, what do I usually do in New York other than hang out with my buddies there? I'm like, I usually shop. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there is so many cool stores. There are so many fun ways to spend your money. But just because you can spend it, obviously doesn't mean you should spend it. And it's basically, honestly, just as much fun to go into all of the stores and look around, but not buy anything than it is to buy stuff. And I really felt like I learned that lesson in a really calm and happy way when I was in New York. And then this time when I was in London, I was like, I don't really need to buy anything. I'm happy to just like look around. Amazing. Buy one pair of jeans. I don't need other stuff.
Yeah.
I did try on a lot of stuff, but I mainly was just like, no, I don't love it. I don't need it. okay, but this was one thing that I bought / made that I'm like super excited about it. I know. So we were in a shop. It was me and Claire in York. We were in a shop and they had these, it looks like they're handmade. Because they're kind of like, they were all a little weird. Like they were all a little wonky. This little frame that is two panes of glass. I would say that this is about 1.5 by 1.5 inches. Mm-hmm. Do I say that? No. I think it's 2 by 2. Let me bring out the ruler here. Listen, our audio listeners, I care about y'all. Yep. 2 inches by 2 inches. Absolutely. So 2 inches by 2 inches tall by wide. It's a little square of brass, but it's two panes of glass. So it's like a frame, but you can see right through it. Mm-hmm. And we saw these and I said to Claire, I was like, how cute would it be if we both bought one? And then we just went around town and picked up little flowers because York just has so many public gardens and stuff that you can just walk through. And there's so many beautiful flowers. And we just like pick up either from the ground or like pluck little tiny just edges of flowers and stuff and put them in this frame. And so we both did that. It was so much fun. It was like, I really recommend this as an activity. Yeah. You don't need to have a frame to do this. Obviously, you could just press flowers at home or just like between the pages of a book. You do like, it was fun that we found these frames.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just the sweetest little decoration. I'm super excited to put it in the house somewhere and find the perfect spot for it. And it was also just really sweet because I really remember getting each of these flowers, like what we were talking about and everything. So it's like, it was a fun activity and memento.
Amazing. I have a follow-up question because I'm sure there's people who are wondering, how are you feeling about antiques these days? You said you went antique shopping.
Great.
And that appears to be a little frame.
Great question. It's not an antique frame. This is definitely made by some artisan. Great question, because Claire asked me that as well. She was like, you want to go antique shopping? I was like, listen, the exposure therapy has worked.
Okay.
So basically, I guess I should just explain for people that I used to be very, very afraid of antiques. Something happened when I was 12. I was in an antique historic home. That was Sir John A. Macdonald's house, Bellevue House in Kingston, where I went to school as a kid. They took us on a trip. It freaked me out. I ran out of that house. And for the rest of my life, I had a fear of antiques and like quite an intense fear. Like, I wouldn't go into antique stores, yeah. which is exactly why this is so crazy different. Mm-hmm. Because throughout being a teenager, I basically was like, why expose myself? Like, I don't need antiques, right? Like, I don't want to go in there. I don't yeah. need to go in there. So how about I just don't go in there? And so I just wouldn't. The difficulty would be in museums, because as a kid and as a teen, you're taken to museums a lot by teachers and parents. And so there was often times when I would go into a museum and I would have, I guess probably it was a panic attack, but I didn't know that at the time. And I would just like run out of the museum because I'd be so scared and like wait in the lobby for everyone. As I like shifted into adulthood, it's just started to calm. Just naturally, the fear calmed. And then I was 26 and I bought this house.
Yeah.
Why did I buy this house? Someone was asking me this the other day. I was like, oh, I don't know. There's a lot of reasons at the time. It made a lot of sense. But like, I couldn't afford a new build. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just wasn't really an option to be like, I would like a new non-antique home.
That's just impossible.
I just can't afford that. Like, I couldn't afford that then. I can't afford that now. And like, I also, I do love the look of old homes in movies and stuff. Like, when I see like Jane Austen stuff, like the houses are so beautiful. Yeah. So I do like love the look of old houses. It just scared me to be in one. But I think that basically it was exposure therapy. Mm. Like, moving into this house, it's an antique house. It's from the 1850s. But putting my own stuff into it and like making the furniture mine, and like most of the furniture in the house is not antique, but then there will be a couple of little pieces that are, and they feel like mine. And on top of it is like an antique lamp that I love because lamps are beautiful and like, I can clean them and like just feel like they're totally fine. I think that that has slowly calmed it a lot.
Oh, that's good.
And now I've been really enjoying like these treasures. What's interesting, though, is while I would say that I'm basically like, oh, I'm okay overall now with antiques, it's definitely not all gone. There's a clip, and maybe I can find it, because I did film a little bit for a video while I was doing the antique thrifting in York. There's a clip where we walk into a room, and I was like, and you can hear the dread in my voice. Oh. I go, oh, this is the kind of antique that still does scare me. And I had to leave a certain room. So, and again, I couldn't tell you the difference between that room and the different other rooms. Like, all the other antiques were in glass cases sealed.
Oh.
And you had to ask to see stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was so different than antique shopping here, where everything is just kind of out. But then we entered one room that was just like piles and piles of antiques and old things and like old dolls and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm not going to stay in this room.
Get me out of here.
But I was able to go to another room. So there's like little waves and moments of it. But yeah, you're right. It's amazing. Quite frankly, I'm proud of myself.
And I did see someone ask about this just randomly somewhere in our Discord or something. So there you go. There's your answer.
There you go. Well, I guess now that we've talked about that, let's talk about some books. All right. Let's start with a book haul, transitioning from a pretty thing that I bought. Well, you know, it's fun because the little frame, I bought it, but I also made it, you know?
That's true. Crafting.
Put my little stamp on that. But I did buy a couple more books I wanted to tell everyone about. Okay, okay. And I think you bought a book, right, Ray?
Yes. Yeah, I went thrifting a couple days ago and I found some. So,
how about you start us off? What did you get?
I found The Colorado Kid by Stephen King.
Oh,
this is one cool of his cover. That was like super rare and hard to find for a long time. So a few years ago, they released this edition because it was just like an impossible to find book. And so I managed to find this obviously reprint version, and it's in the like hard case crime edition that matches like Joyland and one other book of his. So I have those two other books. So I'm excited to have this one. I don't know what it's about at all. Probably just a murder being solved, that kind of thing. But I was like, you know what? It's a Stephen King book that I'm probably not going to find anywhere else. So I just snatched it right up. So
cool.
And yeah, it's not a high priority read at all, but I'm happy to own it.
I love that. Cool. I got a few books that I'd like to talk about. Okay. The first one, this is exciting stuff, I think. I think we talked about this on the pod a while ago. By Grand Central Station, I Sat Down and Wept by Elizabeth Smart. Did we talk about this?
I don't remember, but it looks very cool.
It's very cool. It's one of these Collins Modern Classics editions that they've done like a lot of really cool books in. Okay. And I heard about this book. Actually, I don't remember how I heard about this book. It was ages ago. I heard about this and I thought it sounded so cool. And I was looking it up and I found this edition of it. I was like, wow, that's the edition I want. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't published yet. Like, it was coming soon. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just wait for that. What's really cool about it is I feel a little relatable to it because the author is from Ottawa, my beloved Ottawa. But it's set in London.
Oh.
So I just feel, is it set in New York even? God, it's kind of confusing. At the back it says, browsing in a London bookshop, Elizabeth Smart. Oh, okay, so she was inspired while she was in London, but I think it might be set in New York even. But anyways, yeah, it's about Grand this Central. Woman. Yeah, Grand Central, right. I think it sounds so beautiful. It's also really short, which you guys know. I
love a short so book. He's like, top priority. Is it short? Uh-huh. Hell yeah.
Is it short? Yes. I might be interested then, man. 134 pages. So I think it sounds really cool. It says, right, okay. Browsing in a London bookshop, Elizabeth Smart stumbled across the poetry of George Barker and was entranced by the man behind the words. This aching obsession spiraled into a turbulent love affair that lasted for 18 years, with Smart bearing four of Barker's children while he remained married to his wife. Oh, God, it's a mess! Scary a stuff. Lyrical outpouring of love and suffering. This book was inspired by Smart and Barker's unorthodox romance and is widely considered a classic work of poetic prose. Hmm. Sounds cool.
That does sound cool.
I think this is a quotation on the back. It says, I am possessed by love and have no options. That's cool. Knife to the heart.
Little chills there.
This next book that I bought is so funny. It's so funny that I bought this. But you know, was I did.
Marcel Proust.
My man Marcel. It's As You Like It, but the No Fear Shakespeare edition.
Okay, that's even funnier than Proust.
I know, that's so goofy. Okay, so on the plane ride over to England, I saw Anyone But You?
Yes.
That's what it's called, right? Yes. Anyone But You, the new rom-com starring Glenn and Sydney.
Yeah.
And so I was like, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. Like, I think people are really serious about rom-coms sometimes. They're like, this movie's way overhyped. I'm like, no, it was cute.
It's exactly what it needed to be. Yeah.
That's what rom-coms are supposed to be. But anyways, I enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed that it was a Shakespeare adaptation. And I really enjoyed that they like were very open about it being a Shakespeare adaptation. Mm. Like, there was quotations in text in different fun hidden ways throughout the movie and odes to the different Shakespearean moments. And I thought it was really fun. And then I was reflecting on the fact that I haven't read a Shakespeare in a really long time. And reading Shakespeare is not really, unless you're like, maybe if you're like really well versed in Shakespearean English, it's easy to read. But it's not really like the way that you read another book where you just kind of sit down. So I feel like there's like a couple of options with Shakespeare. You can sit down and you can just read through it and kind of let the language wash over you and like enjoy and understand the words that you understood and let go of the rest.
Yes.
Right? Or you can like go through it and try and really understand everything that you're doing. And then if you're trying to do that, then there's a few different options. You can either be looking stuff up on your own, or you can read a version like this, which is kind of like what you read in high school, where on the right hand side, on the left hand side in this edition is the actual Shakespearean text. And then on the right hand side is the like normal English 2024 like English translation.
Almost.
Yeah. And I think that this is awesome because I will tell this small tale. When I went to Stratford-upon-Avon, where Shakespeare's from and where he's buried, for the first time over a decade ago now, or like almost a decade ago, I went to his grave just because I was studying really nearby and I was like, this will be a fun day trip. I went to his grave and I started to cry. And I did not expect myself to cry. Like, I really respect Shakespeare, and there's some of his plays that I really like, but I don't feel about Shakespeare the way I feel about like Orwell, mm-hmm. where I'm like, I feel very intense, and or about Austin, where I'm like, wow, like a pillar and such a.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah.
I love Shakespeare for kind of what he is historically, but I don't know. I don't think about him very much. And then I started to cry. And I'm like, what's happening? Why am I crying? Like, why is this affecting me so much? And it's just like amazing to me that this one author, and of course, this is like all historically, we can't be certain that it was just one author, or that Shakespeare wasn't the name of a writing group, or that it was him and another buddy, or what. Like, there's all these theories. But whatever, this artistic thing happened that we still are making rom-coms about, like 400 years later. That's so cool to me. And so to me, it is worth reading Shakespeare. And I love that. I absolutely love that. And I'm like, if this is what's going to help people keep reading them, great. I'm like, I think that's really nice. And I want to understand what's going on. And I want to understand the little references. And I'm not in school anymore, so I've just got to do it myself. So I was like, you know what? I'm getting the little school version.
Amazing.
Ariel goes back to school. Okay, the next book I bought. If this one's good, I think you're going to want it, but I think that you're not going to want to buy this until I read it first.
Okay, I love that.
Okay, let's hear it. It's called Poverty Creek Journal on Life and Running, and it is a series of journal entries that this guy did every time he does a run. He came back home and wrote a quick journal entry about how the run went and how he's feeling, and like, they're really short little entries. But it's like mixture of a journal and a reflection on running. Yeah. Because, you know, Raylene and I love a sports book.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they can't all be winners.
Yeah.
Here in the synopsis, it says, over the course of 1 year, Thomas Gardner records his run. 52 entries, none exceeding a paragraph. So I think it sounds really, really cool. I'm really into it. And it seems like it'll be a quick read, right? Because there's not that many entries and everything. So, very cool. Very cool. Okay. I have another book. Actually, I have two books. So, here's what I have to say about this. Pretty freaking excited about it.
Okay.
I got home to a copy of Long Island by Colm Tobin. Tobin is how it's pronounced. This is the sequel to Brooklyn, which, as you all know, I read earlier this year and I loved it. And then I found out that there was a sequel coming this year. Fortuitous that I read it this year. And now I'm like in it. And now I can read the sequel. And so I requested it from Penguin. They sent it over to me. Thank you very much, Penguin Random House Canada, for sending it. Clearly, though, there was a little mix-up because they sent me two copies by accident.
Oops.
So I have two of them. And so I'm going to be doing some form of a raffle on the Patreon to give this baby away. So if you're on the Patreon, keep a lookout for that. I'm very excited to read it. I'm so excited to have it. Hype, hype, hype. Okay, now I have one final book to talk about. This was also waiting for me when I got home.
Ooh, okay.
It is Chlorine by Jade Song.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah. Me too. I'm like jealous of myself.
I want that. I've been wanting that for a while. But now that it's out in paperback, I want it even more.
Yeah. It says on the back, in the dark and transformative tradition of the Pisces and the Vegetarian. So those are some very interesting books to have picked out from the canon. Chlorine is a debut novel that blurs the line between a literary coming of age narrative and a dark, unsettling horror tale.
Juicy.
Ren Yu is a swimmer. Her daily life starts and ends with the pool. Her teammates are her only friend. Her coach is her guiding light. If she swims well enough, she will be scouted, get a scholarship, go to a good school. Her parents will love her. Her coach will be kind to her. She will have a good life. But these are human concerns. These are the concerns of those confined to land, those with legs. Ren grew up on stories of creatures of the deep, of the oceans, and of the rivers. And it goes on from there. So I'm curious about how actually mermaidy this is. Mm. I was already just excited that it's a book about swimming.
Yeah, it's a good combo.
But yeah, as we know, it's mashed potato May, and for me, it's fish and chips edition. And so basically, I thought it would be really fun if I bought a mermaid book, because there's a few mermaid books I really want to read, and I don't think I own any of them. So I was like, I'll just buy one, I'll read it, and once I finish it, I'm allowed to buy the next one. And I'll keep doing that throughout May.
Good.
And we'll see how that goes.
Awesome.
So that wraps up our book haul, but it's a perfect transition into talking about Mashed Potato May. Mashed Potato May. Yes. It's now May 6th. Feels crazy.
The year is flying by.
How are you feeling? What's going on over there in Raylene headquarters for Mashed Potato May?
I mean, the book that I finished was technically a mashed potato book, but you guys already know about it. But I guess I can talk about that in a second. But I mean, other than that, I haven't really been doing anything mashed potato related yet. The book that I started reading is very much not a mashed potato book. And I already have a book lined up in my mind that I want to read next, which also isn't a mashed potato book. So I feel like I'm just like not on the mashed potato train yet, but like give me time, maybe I'll get there closer to the end of the month. But the book that I finished is Colorless Tsukuru Tazaki and His Years of Pilgrimage by Haruki Murakami. Haruki Murakami was born in Kyoto in 1949 and now lives near Tokyo. His first novel, Hear the Wind Sing, was published in 1979 after he spent 7 years working as the owner of a small jazz club. His work has been translated into more than 50 languages, and one of his many international honors is the Jerusalem Prize, which is a literary prize awarded to writers whose work best expresses and promotes the idea of freedom of the individual in society. So, yes, I was reading this last week, and now I'm done. So that's exciting. And I have been recording a reading vlog for this, so that'll be going up on the Patreon soon. Maybe it'll already be up by the time this episode comes out, but yes. So this one I had been meaning to read for a while. Like, this was, if I sort my Goodreads by like date added, this was one of the five oldest ones that I currently had. So I definitely consider this to be like a huge mashed potato book for me. It's probably one of the first Murakami books that was ever kind of on my radar that I wanted to read. But anyways, I read it and I loved the beginning, but it did kind of lose me a little bit along the way.
No.
But I still think it's worth reading, and I think it's a good entry point into Murakami. So this one is about a guy named Tsukuru Tazaki, and it's him when he's in his mid-30s and he's kind of reflecting on something that happened to him when he was in college. His four best friends basically just like quit being friends with him. They were like, we don't want to talk to you anymore. But he never dug deeper to find out why that happened. And so he's in a relationship at the present time in his life, and she's like, you should revisit that. Like, I feel like there's something like that you need to get past. And she can just kind of feel it. So she's like, you should just like reach out to them, or like go talk to them and see what's what. And so he starts doing that. He goes one by one to go kind of talk to all of them and get their side of the story, kind of like hash things out and get some clarity so he can like move on with his life. And yeah, like I really enjoyed the beginning where that kind of journey is starting, but I did find it to get maybe not like repetitive, but each friend that he spoke to, like he wasn't gaining that much new information each time. Sure. And so it just kind of felt like it was missing something. I don't know. But it was an interesting story in the way that like he also feels kind of like an empty person. Like he felt like all of his friends had like some kind of special thing about them. Like one of them was really smart, one of them was really good at sports, etc. And he just kind of felt like he was like the extra. And so through this journey, he kind of like is learning that he does have something special. Like people are like, no, you have this. Like we loved this thing about you. And so it kind of like helps him build up his confidence in himself, which is nice. So it is like a kind of internal journey kind of book. So I would say if you like that, then you should definitely check it out. It's also not that weird. As far as Murakami goes, he can be pretty weird. It has a little bit of like dreaminess kind of to it. And also the main character is obsessed with train stations. Like he's an engineer that works on train stations. So I don't know. I was thinking about this while I was reading it. I was like, I wonder if anybody has like a train book collection. And so I wanted to shout out the train aspect for people. So yeah, all in all, glad I read it. It wasn't like my favorite Murakami, but yeah, glad I read it.
I have two questions for you about that book. Number one, I remember when you started reading it and like told us what it was about and stuff, I thought it sounded kind of like Banshees of Inisherin, right? Was that vibe there? Would you say that like people who like Banshees would like this book?
No, I think the vibes are totally different. With Banshees, it's kind of more like dark humor. With this, it was just like kind of just dark. Like the reasons for them like wanting to not be friends with him was like, it's a lot darker than Banshees. With Banshees, he's kind of just like, you're boring. Like, I don't have that much life left to live, and I just want to live my life in a different way. But in this, it is a little bit more like, oh, and like, if you guys had just communicated, this could have been a lot different. But so yeah, I would say it's a different vibe completely.
Okay. My second question was, well, actually, it does kind of sound like someone would like that. If they like Banshees, which is just about like ending a friendship for a weird reason, maybe. Yeah. Now I'm kind of curious about it. But yeah, my second question is, did it feel like they were justified in ending that friendship?
Kind of, yeah. Like, the reasoning is, like, it's justified, but also not, because if they had just talked to the main character, it would have been cleared up, kind of, like, the reasoning for it. But they kind of just, like, didn't. And so it was this thing that could have been avoided, but wasn't. And every time he was like, why didn't you guys just tell me that at the time? And they're kind of like, oh, we just didn't feel like we could. Like, I don't know. It just felt, like, wishy-washy. Yeah. A little bit wishy-washy. So... yeah, it was interesting that way too.
Okay, well, I know that you got another mashed potato related thing, maybe in the shape of a pin.
Oh, that's true. I received my little pin. My little mashed potato book pin. It's so cute. I do love that it says save the best for last on there, because that is
I think that's so clever. So if you would like to support the pod, and if you're participating in Mashed Potato May, or if you just like the concept of a mashed potato book, may I recommend our pin, available on booksunboundpodcast.com. any other mashed potato feelings or thoughts?
No, that's it for mashed potatoes. I have other thoughts, but they're not related to potatoes anymore.
they're not potato-y. Okay, I will say that I haven't really read anything this week, which is funny because it was such an action-packed week on the trip, because I left London and I went up to York to visit Claire for a few days, and then I saw my friend Son, who we've also had on the podcast, and I saw my friend Rosianna, who we should have on the podcast. So I was just seeing so many people that it got really busy, and then traveling back, so I haven't read anything this week, which is I think the first week maybe this year where I haven't finished anything, which is interesting, so we'll see about that. But when I was going through comments and everything, I saw a bunch of comments from people who were like, from last week's episode, who were, well, I guess for people listening, it's 2 weeks ago, where people were like, that's so exciting about Ariel's TBR challenge. Loved hearing the jingle. So excited. I saw that one of those comments and I was like, oh my God.
What book?
What did I promise? I completely forgot what I said that I would read. So I texted in the Books Unbound editing chat, which is like me, you, and CJ, because obviously CJ edits the podcast, so I was like, well, he would have edited it, maybe he remembers what I said, or maybe Raylene
and
remembers.
I didn't remember.
I'm like, you didn't remember either, which is so funny. I'm like, what did I say? What did I say? And CJ's was like, you said you would read It's a Good Life If You Don't Weaken. And I'm like, oh yeah. Hell yeah. So I just pulled this off of my shelves right now. Like I said, I just got home last night, so I haven't had time to really swing back into the thing of things. Okay.
Whoa.
All right. I'm losing it. But I said I'd read it, and so I'm going to read it. And I'm actually very excited because this really is a mashed potato-y book. I remember buying this, and it was during my undergrad in Guelph. So it would have been between 2013 and 2016. So I've had this for around 10 years.
Oh my God.
Which is insane to think about. And it's just a little graphic novel. Like, why haven't I read this yet?
Yeah.
But this will be a perfect first book for Mashed Potato May.
Definitely.
I'm very excited about that one. And then hopefully soon thereafter, in between all of that, I will check out Chlorine for the fish part
I'm
of
really
the fish
excited
and chips.
For you to read that, because I want to read it so badly. So I want you to read it and let me know if it's worth it.
Totally.
Yeah.
I will for sure be letting you all know, of course. So that's our mashed potato update. Let's move into the next thing Raylene has to talk about. Okay, you said that you've got some other updates. What do you got for
us? Yeah, so last week I was also talking about how I was starting Wandering Stars by Tommy Orange.
Oh, yes, of course.
I have read 31% of this.
Okay.
And I have decided to stop.
No.
I know. I'm so upset about this, because this is the only book I pre-ordered this year. This was like my only 2024 new release that I was like anticipating. I just reread There because I wanted to read this. Like I was on the hype train.
I'm shocked.
This book is I think probably a great book. It's just so not for me that I decided to put it down because I didn't want to like give it a really bad review and like that it doesn't deserve. Like, I really don't think it deserves that. So,
oh my God.
What this book is, it's a generational tale that starts in the 1800s and slowly moves up towards the present day, which is how it's connected to There. So one of the main characters in There is this boy named Orville, and he is one of the really central characters in that book. And this is about like his whole family, like going back generations and generations. So it shows how he kind of got where he is.
Yeah.
So typically, like, I guess I probably knew that when I bought the book. I was just really excited because Tommy Orange had a new book, but I don't really like generational tales.
Is that true that you liked Pachinko?
Pachinko is like an exception to the rule. That's why I was so surprised I loved Pachinko. I feel like it was so well done. With this, I think the part of it too is that that kind of follows like almost like four generations. Like, it's not too many.
Yeah.
This is like a lot of generations. What I noticed while I was reading this is that it really reminded me of Homegoing by Yagyasi, which is a book I read probably like 5 or 6 years ago, maybe more than that. And I didn't really like it that much because it has so many generations that I feel like it just skims over every single one a little bit.
Interesting.
And I had the same problem with this book. So I feel maybe if I had read deeper, it would have changed and maybe the chapters would have been a little bit more broad scope, but I did kind of feel like it was just skimming over each character. And it is told from like a first person perspective of each character. But I also feel like it was very much telling, not showing. Where the main character was just telling a story, like, this is what happened to me, and then this, and then this, and then this, the end. Next character. This and this and then this. And so I just felt like it was very formulaic, kind of, and I didn't really get any meat out of it. I felt very surface level, and which made me sad because it is a very, like, important story to be telling. Like, it's a story of an indigenous family and, like, substance abuse and how that travels through the generations and stuff. Like, there's a lot of good stuff going on in there. I just really didn't vibe with the way it was written and the way the story is being told. So that's where I'm at. So...
Wow.
I know, it sucks. I'm so mad. But a lot of people do still love this book. So, like, I do think people should read it. It's just not for me. So I wanted to give that a shout. But yeah, I feel so bad because I really was excited for that book. But I wanted to be excited about what I was reading. So I decided to pick up a new book. And that book is The Girls by Emma Klein. Oh. Total left turn. So this obviously is not... I mean, it's not exactly a mashed potato book. I guess in some ways I could say that it is because it has been on my radar for a long time. It's just not one that I've had on my shelf for a very long time. I just bought this like a couple weeks ago. But this is so much more what I'm in the mood for. So this is set in 1969 and is about a girl named Evie who is 14. And she kind of is just like... doesn't really care like about her life. Like, her life isn't that interesting or that fun. She's just kind of living. She's very self-conscious. Like, she's a teenage girl, you know? And she kind of falls in with this group of slightly older girls who are kind of mysterious and seem cool. And they take her back to the place that they live, which is this ranch where there's this guy who's very charismatic and supposedly is going to change lives, all this kind of stuff. And it's very much obviously inspired by Charles Manson and the Manson family. Like, that's the vibe of this book. And so it is quite spooky because I know, like, things are going to go bad. Like, this is...
of course.
This is going to be spooky, but it's very interesting to see how a young person could easily fall into that situation. Like, because just because of how, like, susceptible she is to everything and she just wants to be loved. She just wants friendship. It's very interesting. So I'm not quite halfway through yet, but I'm finding it very quick to read and I'm really, really enjoying it. So it's, I'm really glad I decided to pick it up.
While you were talking, I just looked behind me because I've had that book on my shelves for like a decade. Yeah, but I have it in hardcover. Mm. And it's one of those classic situations where I bought it like 10 years ago when it was hyped about, and I bought it in hardcover and I'm like, I could have waited to buy that paperback. I
could have waited a long time. For sure.
I was going to ask, is this the year you've DNF'd the most books?
I think so.
In a long time?
I think so. I really have decided, like, I'm not going to keep reading something I'm not vibing unless there's like a really good reason to, like if I'm reading it for a book club and I'm like,
sure,
whatever or something, like I'll power through, but I really don't want to feel sad while I'm reading in a way that's like, you know, I wish I was reading something else. Like, I don't want to be doing that.
Yeah.
The moment I have that thought of like, I could be reading something else that's way more exciting, I need to stop because I just want to be in a happy zone. Go with the flow. Find your joy. That's what I'm doing this year. So yeah, I would say probably. Like, I am keeping track of my DNFs this year, so it'll be interesting to see at the end of the year how many I actually DNF'd.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Who is that frog behind you?
That's a very interesting question, and I thought you'd recognize him. He's not a frog. He is Strange Doll from Stardew Valley.
Oh my god, of course.
Julia made him for me. He's made out of wood.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I won't show him too close because he's a little wonky. She wouldn't want me to show him up close, but she didn't even want to give him to me, but I begged her. Because this is a question that I ask my friends who play Stardew a lot. I'm like, what would be like your favorite items in the game? Because in the game you can like give things to people and they have their like most loved gifts. That is my number one most loved gift. He's so weird. And he's like rare, like you can't really find him very often.
Yeah.
But I love him.
That's so funny.
So he might just live there for a while.
Frog.
My frog. Yeah, his name is Strange Doll. Green Strange Doll, to be specific. There's two different ones.
And what's the other one? Is it?
He's red.
No, I'm thinking of Ancient Doll. Ancient Doll.
Yeah. Ancient Doll ain't it. He's
no good. That's so funny.
Thanks for asking.
Okay. One thing we're really excited to talk to you guys about is lists. So I think we should transition and talk about lists.
Yeah.
We were thinking the other day how much fun lists are.
Mm.
God, it's kind of hard to say it, though. Lists. It's kind of hard to say it, but that doesn't take away from the fun.
No, it's still worth it.
Book lists are the best. They're so much fun. And we were thinking about how we have one book list on the website, right? We have like kind of our definitive list of like Books Unbound books, which we should revisit that.
Because yeah, I haven't looked at that like in a good while. It might
3 years
right.
ago?
Yeah.
two or three years ago. And it was just like compiling like what we think are the most us books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's accurate anymore.
Probably
so
not.
We should look into
Is
that.
Know My Name even on there? Like, who knows?
Yeah. No, I bet you it's not.
And the Blue Castle?
So we have...
Like, oh, yeah. We'll look at that after this.
Wow. I'm looking at it now. It's called Our Top Picks. It's on our website. It's from May 23rd. Oh, that's relevant. It's funny, how soon that is. From 2022. So it's exactly 2 years old. And no, your Know My Name is not on there. The Blue Castle is not on there. Mm. End of Green Gables is on there.
Yeah.
That's just fascinating stuff. Anyways, lists. And we were thinking about how a lot of creators are using bookshop.org to share their lists. Because, first of all, you can like curate the covers and just have it all in one handy place. But also, if the person then wants to go on and buy that book, we get an affiliate. Beautiful.
Pretty
a perfect
cool.
system. Everyone wins. And so we thought we should give this a shot. So this was one thought that we were having over here on the left-hand side. That thought was happening. On the right-hand side, we were thinking about how Rayleigh needs to pick some books for my book truck.
Yes, the time is coming.
I guess we should do a small book truck update.
Yes, late on me.
While I was in England, I did work on the book truck. I have figured out how to order books. I will talk about this in a future podcast episode once I've ordered books because basically I figured out how to do it. You have to like sign up to these distributor lists. Mm-hmm. You have to do applications. Like it was a nightmare. I didn't like it. It stressed me out. But I think I'm now at the place where I can order the book. So hopefully this week I will actually begin ordering the books.
Yay. Okay, good time.
Which is huge. But then secondly, before I left, I also put in some important orders. I have ordered a book stamp. Did I talk about this on the pod yet?
Yeah, I think you talked about stamping books. I remember that.
Yes. So I have the book stamp now, but I also now have the bookmarks. I just opened the box this morning and it arrived while I was in England. And like I said, I fell asleep so fast yesterday, I didn't even open my like new mail. But I sent photos of them to Raylene, and Raylene, you seem to like
them.
They're
gorgeous.
So I'm very excited. The bookmarks are here. So whenever someone buys a book, not through the internet, but like through like at the truck, when you're actually at the truck, I will give you a bookmark and send you on your merry way. there's a lot of them. There's five. I ordered 500 because it was like, if you order 100, they're this much. If you mm-hmm. order 500, it's this much. And I was like, well, I would like to kind of err on the side of a lot.
Yeah.
So that I can give away, people can ask for, can I have two? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And like, can also that way, I just won't, definitely won't run out all summer. But the idea of selling 500 books seems like a lot of books.
It is a lot.
That seems,
you
that
probably seems ambitious. Won't, but you'll still have spares for next time, so you don't have to buy them every year or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. One can hope. One can only hope. So we'll see about all that. But now I've got the bookmarks. I've got the stamp. The pin. I've ordered some pins. They're on the way. I've got a really cool mug that I'm so excited about. Ooh. That's kind of in the workings. And I've got to figure out a tote bag. So I'm working on a bunch of merch stuff right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like a nightmare. It's not a nightmare. It's a headache.
Yeah.
It's a headache. But it's got to get done. And... yeah, and so this kind of week is going to be about ordering the books, because I feel like if I order them now, they should probably all arrive within the next 2 to 3 weeks, and that would still be a month early. So that will give me enough time to just troubleshoot if anything goes wrong, or if I have noticed that some distributors like will have, let's say there's 10 books on my list that I'm trying to find, they'll have like 6 of them, but then 4 of them they won't have. So then those 4 I have to try and go and find somewhere else. So it's a little bit tricky, but I'm learning a lot of stuff. I'm learning a lot of things. Yeah. And that brings us to Raylene's list. I want to have a bunch of quirky shelves on the book truck because it's so small that I can't even like attempt to be generalist. And I don't, it's my truck. I don't want to just like have the top selling sci-fi on there. Yeah. I don't know anything about those books. Yeah. I can't pretend to tell you about fantasy. I don't know about fantasy, right? And so I've curated a bunch of different lists, book categories that I'm going to have on the shelf and on the truck. And one of them is books my best friend thinks you should read. So that's going to be the official label on the truck. And I'm so excited for when the truck is in person, like when it exists and I can take photos of that shelf and send it to you and everything. It's going to be crazy. But what do you want on the truck? This is the question. So I sent, Raylene texted me a week ago or whatever. Yeah. And you were like, when should I do this list? I was like, yeah, good point. Right now.
Let's do it now. Because
I have to order the books. Yes. I have to order the books.
So what I've been doing is I've started, like, I have a list, like a secret little shelf on my Goodreads that I call book truck. And every time I think of something that I really think should be on there, I add it to that. And I've narrowed it down to 10 so that you only have to have like 10 at this moment. But I do have an extensive list if you ever want to switch it up.
If I need expansion.
Or, yeah. Because I was thinking about it too. Like, if people are going to be coming back to your book truck, you don't want to have the same 10 books all the time. You're going to want to switch it up because if somebody likes one of my recommendations and reads all 10 of them, you know, it could happen. So anyways, without further ado, are the 10 that I have decided as my definitive list. Number one, Know My Name by Chanel Miller. That, of course,
that makes sense. We all saw it coming.
Yeah, that's like number one. I think everyone should read that. Number two, of course, is The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald. That also has to be on there. And that's
cool.
You know,
very cool.
I think this is a good mix of classics and modern stuff.
Question about that one. Do you care what edition I get?
Not at all. Get whatever's cheapest because people will probably want to buy that. There's really nice mass market copies that have been circulating around.
Yeah, cool.
I'll show you.
Next
up, The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss, of course.
Nice.
That could be your one fantasy book that's on your book truck.
Awesome.
It's the only one. I mean, maybe that in Priory of the Orange Tree, but that's not on my list right now. But it is on my list.
Okay,
next up is Five Little Indians by Michelle Good, because that was one of the best books I've read in the past few years.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. And then, that just made me realize I should have put Pachinko on this list. That's okay. It's on the back list. There's always going to be something I'm going to think of.
Yeah.
But next, I put Room by Emma Donoghue on the list. I know this is an older book, and maybe you can find used copies of it to make it a little more appetizing for people to want to buy. But I really, really think everyone should read that book. So I did squeeze it in there, even though it's maybe not the most fashionable choice. Next up, Crying in H Mart by Michelle Zahner.
Ooh,
that one is also so good, and it ticks a lot of my boxes. You know, it's memoir, it's food, it's celebrity. It's so good, it'll make you cry. So I want everyone to read that. Then I've got Lesser Known Monsters of the 21st Century by Kim Fu. Because
I love that that's on there.
Thank you. I thought it was timely. It's short stories, which I don't have any other short stories on there, but it's also going to kind of be like an unknown book to a lot of people. It's like a random Canadian short story collection, so I think not a lot of people might know about it. So I wanted to put that on the list. Then we've got The Dishwasher by Stéphane Leroux. For similar reasons, it's a very small kind of like almost like indie movie vibe, like Canadian book that I think is so worth reading. And so I want to spread to the masses over in Nova Scotia.
I have really good news.
Yes.
I just looked it up on one of my distributors and they do have Lesser Known Monsters of the 21st Century. Because that so far is the only one from your list that I'm like, oh, that's going to be fine. Maybe The Dishwasher. The Dishwasher.
They might have that too.
Okay, this one doesn't, but I'm sure I'll find
it's okay. And like I said, I've got a lot of backup options. If you can't find any of these, that's no problem. Number 9 is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest by Ken Kesey. Because I feel like it's kind of random, but it is a classic that I feel like everyone should read. And I feel like it kind of gets overlooked sometimes, but it's so good. And then the final book is 1Q84 by Haruki Murakami.
Whoa, interesting. Again, okay, does this come as a bind up? This does, right?
Yeah, you can get it as a bind up or as the 3-volume edition. So I don't know what'll be the easier option for you to find, but
that's fascinating.
It is, yeah. I feel like I wanted to have just a kind of a wild, crazy book on there that's just like huge. Like, and I really wanted to put a Stephen King book on the list, but I was like, I don't know. It's hard to pick just one, so I didn't. But this, it was easy to pick my one Murakami because I feel like this book really sums him up, and it's something that I think about all the time. So it had to go on there. It had to go on there. So
that's so much fun. I'm so excited to get all these books for you on the truck. Like, I'm also so excited. I don't think I've read any of those.
That's the other thing. I was trying to make sure I picked books that you wouldn't necessarily put, because I would have put like Wild or Tiny Beautiful Things. Like, there's lots of books that we have crossover that I would have chosen.
Totally.
But I wanted to pick things that were like me specific. So I would really shine.
I think it's so cool. I think it's so cool that those are, I think, all books that I haven't read. Yeah. Because again, like, that just adds so much more variety to the truck that I wouldn't have had on my own. How funny is this? This could be so great. I have to spend so much money though, really.
Yeah,
like, I'm a little horrified at the initial expense.
Yeah.
So everyone, buy the pin.
Yeah, you're going to have to really hype up this event that you go to make sure everyone shows up.
Seriously, go to the go to our new affiliate page. So that'll be linked in the description of every episode now. We'll start linking the new bookshop.org thingy so that you can check out our list of books. So we're going to start with two lists for now. We're going to start with that list that Raylene just said. So if you're a listener of the pod and you're just like, I'm never going to get to the truck. Perfect. No problem. You can buy these books, obviously, at your local bookshop, or you can buy them online through our link. But we also thought it'd be fun if I curated a list for the bookshop.org link. And I'm going to be doing a fish and chips a themed list. So I haven't actually written it yet. We were just talking about it before the podcast. So Chlorine will be on it. The Seas by Samantha Hunt will be on it. People were telling me so many good things about that one. Mermaid of the Black Conch. Have you heard of that one?
No.
A lot of people were recommending that one, which sounds really, really good. So there's a couple cool, really, really great sounding mermaid books that I'm going to be putting on there. If you guys are curious to check that list out, it will be linked below.
Amazing.
There you have it. That's the lists section. All right, it's time to wrap up this episode with the mailroom. We pulled some comments. Raylene, how about, as usual, you start us off. What did you get?
Yeah, so pretty much everything I found was Mashed Potato May related, which I thought would be fun to kind of lean into. So the first one is from Terry, who says, I started reading Loveless by Alice Oseman. I put it off because I knew it would make me cry. And I was right. Within the first 20 pages, I was like, oh no. Good book so far, but kind of glad I put it off until I was ready. So I like that. It's like advice that, you know, mashed potato stuff, sometimes it does work and it is for a good reason. And then we've got one from Amy who sent a photo as well. Amy was sitting on her deck reading Anne of Green Gables. She just says, finally dusted off the balcony furniture in time for a mashed potato may start with golden hour. The PNW decided to behave and be partly cloudy today. It's just like a beautiful day reading Anne of Green Gables on a balcony, which is just so lovely. And then Suburban Jungle is reading House of Leaves by Mark Z. Danielewski, which is a huge one. I know a lot of people were talking about House of Leaves in the Discord. So good on you for doing that. That's best of luck to you. I did not like that book, but best of luck to you. And then, oh, this one is so funny. This was two people. So it started with Soph, who says, happy mashed potato May. After much thinking, I think that my goal is to just finish the dozen of books I have started but never finished. And then the Mayor Jokes responded by saying, I do that every October. I call it my finish the books season.
Ah, yay!
Which I love. I'm like, that is just too funny. And then the final one I've got here, actually, wait, I have an extra one too that I found this morning. This one's from Cursed Plum Tree, who says, I think my eyes are a bit too big for my stomach with this month's potatoes. Prior of the Orange Tree, hella mashed potato, pod, fish and chips, and then Interior Chinatown / Tempest of Tea for Asian Heritage Month. Good luck out there, pals. So that's, yeah, you got a lot of different mashed potatoes going on. But then I had this comment this morning that I just had to bring up as well. This was from Aribed, who says, haven't been on the Discord in ages, but just had to this morning. I just started Know My Name by Chanel Miller for Mashed Potato May and already cried 3 times, only at chapter 3. At Raylene LeMay, oh my God. I understand now. So thank you for letting me know about that, because yeah, I just wanted to let everyone know you should read Mashed Potato May. I actually, yeah, it was my Mashed Potato May read last year, and then I loved it. So,
ooh,
read your mashed potatoes, people.
Whoa, yeah, that's cool. Okay, I saw one comment on the Patreon, and I know the Patreon is usually your arena where you pull from. But I was like, if Raylene doesn't pull this one, I'm going to pull this one. Mm. And I saw that you did heart this comment on Patreon.
Okay.
But Rachel said, I like that people are coming up with mashed potato variants. I've realized that I have more than a few mashed potato books with orange color, with orange covers. So if I read them this month, I could call my version Sweet Potato May.
I love that so much. I just forgot to take a screenshot of it.
Oh, cute. I love that one. Okay, the comments I pulled from YouTube were not mashed potato related, but here we go. Ocho Hato says, oh my God, the Back to the Future music during the Claire Keegan book talk was hilarious. Thank you, CJ, you imp. And I was like, what? What's that? And then another person commented, at Jess1753, I have literally paused and changed platforms just so I could comment and say congrats to CJ for the book Back to the Future reference. That was brilliant. So this is what's so funny. I knew you wouldn't know what's going on. I also don't know what's going on. CJ must have edited something funny in while I was talking about Claire Keegan's book with Back to the Future music. But we don't know because it's after the edit. So
and I don't understand what it means, why it would have happened.
I love that CJ did that. And I love that we had no idea. And the people are,
I know, I love that some things are just out of our hands.
Out of our hands. Good one, CJ. Love that. Little Giraffe 8 says, Ariel, how do you cope with traveling and leaving your pets behind? I'm in pain because I'm about to travel for 3 weeks and I had to drop my babies off at my parents'. This is very interesting. I love my pets, but they are family pets. So I think that might be a big part of the difference. Like, they're not my pets that I've only taken care of by myself for ages. They're my family pets. And because they're my family pets, I feel really like happy leaving them behind because they're with my family still. Like, it's, they're always with one of us. Yeah. So I know that they're not in any kind of psychic pain, for example, being like, what's going on? Everything is different. Mm-hmm. No, like, whenever my parents go away, they're with me. And whenever I go away, they're with my parents. And it's always consistent. But I wanted to answer this question because I felt bad, but I'm realizing I don't have good advice. What do you do, Raylene? Like, Have you been away long enough?
The only time in recent years where we kind of had to figure something out was last year we went to Mexico, and it was with Kyle's entire family. So we were like, oh, well, we can't just like, but historically what we would have done is like, we lived with Kyle's parents for a bit. So it was like, if we went somewhere, the cats would be fine. But this past time we were like, what do we do with Simon? And my brother was like, I would be happy to look after him. And so my brother came in house sat for us. Just stayed here and hung out with Simon the whole time. We haven't gone on a trip anywhere since we've gotten Willow. So I think we'll just do the same thing, though. If that happens, my brother will just come hang out at the house and hang out with the cats. So
yeah,
like that's what we would do. Cause like cats, it's hard too. You can't really just like drop them off somewhere because they hate that. Cats like to be in their house, you know, like they're not like dogs. They do. They're not as adaptable. Yeah. So I'm kind of stuck with like, someone has to come hang out at my house. And like previously, before we lived in an apartment building where like Julia lived in the same building, so Julia would come like look after Simon. Like there was always some kind of good setup. And since we moved here, we're now far away from everyone, so it's kind of like, do we ask a neighbor? Like, I don't know if I want to do that. So we've gotten lucky so far. Although cat hotels are like another thing that you could explore, but that's not fun. You want them to be with someone who loves them. So
I don't know.
If you can find someone to move into your house, maybe that's the best option.
Little Giraffe did say, like, she's going to drop them off with her parents. So it seems like the cats are going to be okay. I think this is what I would think about. Listen, variety is the spice of life, as they say. And so you're going on a vacation. It's kind of like the cats are going on a vacation.
Yeah.
Like, they get to go do something cool and novel and special for a bit. And then everything is going to go back to normal and everyone will forget all about it.
Yep.
So don't worry. The cats will still love you when you get back. Probably.
We'll see.
I'm just pulling your chain. We're fine. All right. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us for yet another fun episode. I'm so glad to be back home. I feel like stuff is chaotic around me. Like literally on my desk, there's just so many piles of things that I'm like, okay, now that I've recorded the pod, I'm going to put all these things away and get back into the swing of things and catch up on reading. And I'm excited for next week's update when hopefully I've like jumped and really dove into all of the mashed potato fish and chips shenanigans that need to start happening around here. But yeah, now we're going to go record our Patreon mini podcast, The Movie Tub, where we're going to talk about all those movies we've been watching. If you want to check that out, it's on patreon.com/booksunbound. So we'll go talk to our patrons over there. Thank you all. We'll talk to you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.